You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:08 in the morning, we're on the Wake Up Tucson show. It keeps on rolling, rolling and rolling and rolling.
This town.
Welcome back to the show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, all of our candidate interviews are going to be at the Elections 2020 page at KVOI.com. Any of the interviews I have done, Zachary or Bill, Mr. Buckmaster, all in one spot, so you can hear it right out of the candidates' pie hole themselves and be a more informed voter. This hour of Wake Up brought to you by CabcoAZ.com. Before we get to our special interview coming up, I just want to say I heard Ed's news thing about Banner Hospital saying we got to keep wearing our masks and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, first.
And foremost, Banner Hospital has two problems with it. They are not using science or data. And remember, they get $15 to $20 million from Pima County as part of the hospital deal. So I wouldn't trust Banner Hospital on their masking recommendations as far as I can throw this building. So, sorry.
Okay.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Let's go right to the phones. We had such a great interview with the DEA last month, and this one's been highly publicized. They say this guy's going to be the greatest DEA interview we've ever done.
Woo!
It's true. Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Polo Ruiz. Polo, what's up?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
We're doing good. We're living the darn dream, as we like to say here in Wake Up Tucson.
Outstanding.
How long have you been with the DEA?
Approximately 22 years, or going on 22, and hopefully I'll end up at another five.
And what areas of the country have you been assigned with the DEA?
Okay, well, I before I got onto the DEA, I was actually a police officer in Los Angeles for the Los Angeles Police Department.
Okay.
And I did 5.5 years there, and thereafter I worked three tours in Mexico. One tour was in the peninsula of Yucatan, and then from there I ended up working over in Mazatlan, Sinaloa, covering the Golden Triangle. And then did several years as a special operations down in Mexico City. And then I've been over here at what we deem as the tip of the spear in southern Arizona 3 years. And then prior to that, I was in Nogales as a field supervisor and also as an assistant special agent in charge.
So you have been serving in a lot of the garden spots of the drug war is what you're telling me.
Yes, sir. You got to go where everything starts, right?
When you say Southern Arizona is the tip of the spear, explain that to the listeners.
Well, what I'm going at is that we have about 360 miles of border going from all the way from San Luis over to Agua Prieta and, of course, on the south side. And that's a large portion of border, southwest border that we have. And where I go at the tip of the spear is that we're at the front lines here. We're trying to do the best we can in what we got in this battle.
What are some of the crazier things you have seen from the ways of getting drugs into this country?
I've seen the one that really stands out to me the most is actually I worked when I got the opportunity to work in El Paso and West Texas, and of course the border area there is Juarez, and we had an individual there. He was an older man, and this he was about 70 years old, and every 2 weeks he was coming up from the state of Durango, and he was bringing in approximately 1 kilogram of heroin. But the crazy thing about it is it was all through his internal, through his backside. Oh. And and he had been doing it for approximately 15 years.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
That is insane. What is the part of this job, Polo, that is the most satisfying for you? Because this is not an easy job, but what's the moment in this job that you say was worth all the hard work to get there?
Well, sir, you know, it's a conglomeration of things. I can tell you, we're here. I mean, for me personally, it's actually making a difference. And every single day is a battle. And every time that we take off a load of dope out there, and knowing that it's not going into the streets of our communities, and now, I mean, I made Arizona my home, and it feels great that when we do that, we're making an impact. And our job is here to disrupt, to dismantle, and destroy the narcotic trafficking organizations.
What's the toughest part of the job?
Oof. Well, the toughest is not enough time.
That sounds like one of those great interview answers that someone would give. Remember when someone says, "What's the toughest part of your job?" Polo just gave it to you. Not enough time.
I wish I had more time, sir, and all of us. If we didn't have to sleep, it would have been great. It would be great. And where I go at it is this, is because we're out there 12, 14, 16 hours at times. When I was downrange in Mexico, I was a liaison for the special operations of the Mexican Marines. And I'm telling you, I was working about anywhere 14 to 16 hours a day. And that was for two straight years. And the same thing happens over here. And we're trying to confront these organizations. And these folks, they have what we call doper time. So if we set up a undercover deal, they say, okay, well, I'll be there at 12 noon. 12 noon probably means about 10 o'clock at night. So what does that mean? We have to roll out there. And that's where it affects us is our family life.
Sure.
We have to have a very understanding significant partner that can understand those type of things because and there's times that you end up doing a 24, 36, 48-hour surveillance and just to be able to get the good bust.
Polo, can I ask you hold on for a commercial break and we'll come back for one more segment? Is that okay?
Of course, sir.
Awesome. We are catching up with DEA Assistant Special Agent Polo Ruiz, Drug Enforcement Agency. If you have a question for him or a comment, give us a call. 790-2040. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30, The Voice. All right, 8:20 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. We're catching up with DEA Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Polo Ruiz. Polo, thanks for your service and for everyone in the DEA. This is not easy stuff that you guys are doing and girls are doing. So thank you, first and foremost.
Thank you, sir. I'm proud to serve.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. Let's go to Carlos on line 3. Carlos, you're on with Polo. What's up, buddy?
Hi. I have a question. Do you have any data? Does the DEA have any data on whether drugs increase, decrease, stay the same in states that have legalized marijuana for recreational use?
That's a good question, Carlos. Polo, do you have any data on that?
Well, yes, we do. Actually, what has happened is due to the legalization of marijuana in certain states, it's caused an increase in what we term as the hard narcotics. And what we call it in the hard drugs is methamphetamine, fentanyl, and cocaine. So now everybody is looking at marijuana as nothing. The majority of those folks are kind of going over, and some other folks are actually going over to methamphetamine and fentanyl and heroin. Now, here in Arizona, we're faced with a big problem here with severe overdoses where we're facing methamphetamine and fentanyl overdoses. So fentanyl, those two drugs are synthetic drugs, and they're being produced and manufactured in Mexico. There was a time period methamphetamine was produced here in the little small mom and pop labs, here back in the late 90s, early 2000. And it was termed as a biker. The bikers used to utilize that drug. But now it's gone mainstream. It gives you the same euphoric effect as cocaine. And then the fentanyl is what's replacing heroin. And fentanyl now is being put into the pills and laced to, like if you have the M30s, which is the oxycodone, they're lacing it with fentanyl. So now you're getting the same effect as pure heroin, almost at the purity level of 95 to 100%.
So, Polo, you're saying you're seeing an increase in that stuff in states that have legalized pot?
That is correct.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Interesting. Carlos, thanks for that good question. 790-2040. Adriana just texted me. She wanted to know, you know, there was always that big story of the caravans and all those people coming up. I don't know if that's going on, but of course the drug dealers like to use the economic migrants as either distraction, hide amongst them. What's that dynamic the last 12 months?
Well, as far as the caravans are concerned, we here in southern Arizona, as I stated before, in the 360 miles of border, we've seen the increase of backpackers. And the backpackers are actually individuals that are undocumented. And they're coming across these individuals that come with a burlap sack that actually is strapped to their backs. And instead of bringing over the marijuana, they're actually bringing in those hard narcotics that I mentioned before. So we have seen an increase in them. During the summer months, you won't see as much. But right now, in the recent months, actually now that it's just starting to cool down, we're seeing they'll come in about 12 people in a whole crossing the clandestine areas that we don't have any type of barriers there.
When Sherry was on last month, she was talking about how these basically super meth factories are all over Mexico right now and cranking out a lot of this stuff and then using these people to bring it in.
That is correct, sir. As a matter of fact, when I was in Sinaloa, I was there for 4 years as a resident agent in charge, and the majority, I can tell you about 95% of the methamphetamine that is coming into the U.S. is manufactured in Sinaloa. They're up, yes. And the super labs that are producing at least, each one lab will at least do about 50 to 100 pounds per day.
Tell me about the working with the Mexican authorities along the border. Describe the dynamics of that relationship.
Well, it's great. I mean, I was downrange for 11 years, different tours, as I mentioned before. And a lot of times you have to, it's a trust factor. And a lot of time, many times people will say, well, they're all corrupt. And I can attest to you that they're not all corrupt. We are, when we go and work down there, we have to work with those individuals. And we identify organizations that are down there that are sending the drugs up here. So we have a great relationship with working with them. There are times that, yes, in any organization, unfortunately, you're going to find some corrupt individuals, but you still got to go forward. You got to make it work.
Do they get the support from their federal government like you guys get from our federal government? Are there sometimes maybe they're under supported, you think, sometimes down there?
Wages are a big factor that unfortunately they end up going on the corruption side. That is, where the daily wage is maybe about $8 a day. It's very difficult.
My Lord.
Money, yes. And for these officers that are out there to protect and serve, And believe me, I'm not excusing it because there's no excuse for corruption. But when you're down there and you don't get the wages that you need, it's very difficult for them to, when a drug dealer comes up to them and tells them, look, I'll pay you a couple $100 if you look the other way. And that's what happens, unfortunately, at times.
Polo, I have one last question for you, and we'll definitely have you on again. This has been a great conversation. You're new to the show, so we ask all newbies, I need your favorite two or three favorite local restaurants you like to eat at.
Well, I got to tell you, last night, actually, I was I'm a big steak lover. I'm from West Texas. And so I went to Chato on Broadway, and, man, they had some really good steaks there.
Chato Steak, yeah, they do great work there.
Yes, sir. And I have a daughter, and she loves sauce.
Okay. So, there you go. Excellent.
And, yes, sir. And of course, I my other favorite would have to be Poca Cosa.
That was mentioned before by another guest. So good. Susanna at Poca Cosa is killing it today. So, all right, Polo, thanks for all the hard work out there of you and all the folks in the DEA, and we'll definitely have you on again. You did a great job today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You have a good morning.
You too, sir. That's a DEA Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Polo Ruiz. Justine Wadsack should be here soon, and we're going to talk about her run for the legislative district, as we like to say. Lots of stuff to cover. I might have to do the classic saber dance one more time in the fourth in the fourth quarter, Ed. So
yeah, what do we call that? The quick thing, whatever that is.
It'll come back to me before it's over. All right. Well, Polo was great.
I was so excellent. We learned some stuff.
We found out that the Mexican guy and law enforcement people that he's working with in Sinaloa are making, I think he said $8 a day. And, you know, that's a little rough. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. This is going on right now. The Californication of Tucson, Arizona, and Arizona. Wake up. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 8:35 in the morning. We're catching up with Justine Wadsack. She's running for state senate in LD
10.
I'm going to get them. After 11 years, I'm going to get all my LDs. Oh, of course, they're going to screw me up by redistricting next year, and then I'm toast again.
Yeah, no, we're all going to get screwed on that one.
It's like when I coach youth, either soccer or baseball, that last game of the year, every kid's doing exactly what you need them to do, and then the season's over.
Yeah.
So DeSimone will finally get it, like next year, about May, and then they'll change it on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I deserve it.
No,
deserve
none
it.
Of us deserve this.
You have been trying to be one of the voices of reason out there on TV, as we like to say, Team COVID reality.
Yes.
How's that battle going right now?
In my effort to try and help the small business community of Tucson, the people of Tucson, because it's not just the small business, it's the sporting industry, it's the music industry. I mean, nobody talks about the music industry.
Right.
And how this is affecting musicians, sound men, stagehands, you know, promoters. Everyone's going to go bankrupt by the time this is all over if we don't get things back on track immediately. Casinos are going to start hurting.
Right.
And we never thought that would happen. I am being called a COVIDiot. I am being called
You're a
science denier.
Well, hold on. COVIDiot was for the panic people. That's what
we they came turned
up,
it around.
We came up with COVIDiot months ago for the panic people.
No. There are groups all over Facebook, all over Tucson that have turned the tables because people are starting to realize that we really do need to look at the economy, that without a strong economy, people are going to start dying in other ways. And
well, they already are.
They are. I mean, the suicide rate is up. People aren't thinking about people when they say, put on your mask. Mask up and do what's right to help others, the greater good or the community. Well, they're not thinking about the community when they say, let's keep everybody at 50% or less capacity in their business. Let's, you know, tell everybody that they have to socially distance in these restaurants. I've been in restaurants where they should be full. Okay. Full.
Right.
And on a Saturday night and there's three tables. These businesses cannot survive this way. They have a right to a livelihood.
And it's become political.
It has absolutely. It's become who wears masks and who does not wear masks.
And it lines up with lots of times D's and R's.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. 100%. I just did an open forum, or if you would call it a debate, with the LD10 opponents. So Ma Bell and I, we've been running this campaign together. I urge everybody to get behind Ma Bell Gumery because she is She's a Hispanic woman. She is strong on schools. We both went into this debate with Kirsten Engel and her House opponents. And basically, it came down to they want to keep everything closed. They want to keep everybody masked. They want to keep the children out of the schools because how dare we even entertain the idea of returning children back to school because they're just going to die. And we must all want these children to die, which is absolutely not true. It has become literally mask up, stay closed, stay safe, wait for the vaccine. That's the D's. And the R's are saying support small business, open the economy, take the mask off. Let's get back to normal and hit 2021.
Have you noticed none of them? So in the early part of this, they kept on using the word science and data.
Right.
100%. Rahina reused it. Doug Ducey would use it. Let me put them together in a sentence. Rahina and Doug Ducey use the word science and data all the
That's
time.
That's correct.
Right now, when they were on the back end, they don't use the word science and data. It's you want people to die.
Well, it's interesting.
That's the new line, right?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting to me is we have the curve is flat. We have officially flattened the curve.
Yep.
We've held up our end of the bargain.
Yep.
Why hasn't the governor and the government in Pima County and the city of Tucson held up their end?
Again, it's political.
Yeah, 100%.
It's this horrendously important election year.
Yep.
I got the fate of the U.S. Senate and the presidency might end up in Arizona.
Yep.
And everyone's going to suffer for it.
100%.
They are willing that the people, Doug Ducey and the Pima County Board of Supes and the city of Tucson and any other mayor or anyone out there who's buying into this junk is willing to have kids suffer, parents suffer, higher suicide rates, people dying of other things than COVID because they can't go to the doctor or won't go to the doctor because you filled them so much with fear.
Yep.
So you can win an election.
Yep.
They're willing. So when they say, oh, you want the kids to die, these people are literally willing. We know that if we're going to use science and data, this doesn't bother kids one iota.
And the thing is there's science on both sides. We can argue the science until our faces turn blue.
Right.
But it's going to come down to your science is wrong. My science is right. Well, what side of the table are you on? You can't argue the science. There's science on both sides.
You can't argue the science because the numbers are there.
Well, the numbers are there. And I've made an argument that science requires math and logic. You can't have science without math and logic. Right now, the D's are using science without any math and logic. They're not paying attention to the bar graphs. They're not paying attention to the numbers.
Well, it doesn't serve the narrative anymore.
Having 99% survival rate and recovery rate when they don't look at those numbers. They've completely put on the blinders, the horse blinders, and said, no, we're looking at, there's still cases. Now, these cases really bother me. Again, there's the logic element.
Right.
You can't base our entire state being closed on cases because not everybody is symptomatic. So...
Well, they're not symptomatic, and then we've learned that there's somewhere between 50 and 90% of the testing is faulty.
That's correct.
I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm. People who stood in line and then got out of line because they got frustrated and bored and left, and they tested positive.
America has lost their mind on this.
Yes.
And this comes down to politics.
Absolutely.
Sad to say. What do you want to get done at this legislature when you get into the legislature? What do you want to... Give me one, two, and three priorities.
First priority is to hold our governor accountable. I want to put him in check with other legislators that will take a look at this 2002 executive order from Governor Hull that gave him this power. This power needs to be removed from a governor. No one person should have this much unilateral power. It's tyranny. This is 100% tyranny. the second order of business is school choice. I would like to make it so that all of these parents that have lost their jobs because they are at home doing the jobs of these Red for Ed teachers that are refusing to go back to work. You have teachers that want to go back to work, but then you have the unions and the D's. They're all saying, don't do it. It's bad for you. You're going to kill children and you're going to bring it home to grandma. We need to start thinking differently. The old way, the quote unquote old school way of school is not working anymore.
There are plenty of charters right now and yes. some public schools that are open and have been doing in class since September, since August 17th, or whenever Doug said they can do it. And we haven't seen the Arizona Daily Star try to do their stupid hit piece over Labor Day. Didn't work. And we're not seeing any of these things that they're talking about.
Nope. No, we have not seen these. You know, TUSD is in the dark ages.
We saw an amphitheater school where one teacher tested positive, and I like that they cleaned his room. I thought it's yeah. aerosol.
Right.
Is it a droplet or not?
Well,
why are we scrubbing a desk?
What's the CDC saying now? Because they
changed
the news. They just changed it. Again, but in the last 24, yeah, they said it's going to kill you because it's all in the air. It's aerosol. And then literally, I think in the last 48 hours, it can't be transferred through aerosol.
Because if it's aerosol, then the masks fall apart.
Correct.
Right? Because they put that there and said, oh, it's an aerosol. It's not really in the droplets.
That's correct.
It's more in the aerosol. So if it's really aerosol, then the masks are useless. Well, they're more 100%. Useless than we ever thought they were.
Yes. And then the third thing that I would like to
No.
it's easy to get on a tangent on every one of these topics.
Sorry.
No, you're good. The third one, I would want to work on safety. I believe that our state, our country, we are suffering right now in terms of these riots, this reaction. It's all reactionary in a very negative, violent way. They're targeting our police. And I want to make sure that our police are protected and that our neighborhoods are safe. That is one of my main concerns.
What's the Justine Wadsack for State Senate website, ma'am?
It is Wadsack for Arizona, the number four. So Wadsack, number four, Arizona.com.
And that's WADSACK.
That is correct.
Awesome. Well, are you clean elections, not clean elections?
I'm clean elections.
Okay.
So in total raised close to $50,000, which I'd like to point out to a couple of our newspaper reporters that I did not raise only $20,000 like they reported. No, this is over the last couple of years. The last two years of running. It's been upwards of $70,000 if you look at everything together. So I'll be honest with you. I ask that the news start reporting the truth, start looking at both sides, the Democrats and the Republicans.
You're so cute when you say that. That's
I know.
Great.
I can try at
it's
least.
It's so cute.
WADSACK, number four, Arizona.com.
And of course, our friend Adriana already called in to talk about how they've already been desecrating your signs out there.
Oh my gosh. So I've had friends, old friends I haven't spoken with in years, call me to tell me that I have swastikas on my forehead on about 20 different signs. I have male phalluses on, you know, my face, on other signs.
Hey, I'll explain what a phallus is at the break.
You know, I would have a sense of humor if they did, you know, vampire fangs or a mustache.
Right.
That's one thing.
Right.
But when there's kids in the backseat of the car and they're driving by and they see that, or they see this phallus on my face, it's, come on, guys, let's try to grow up a little bit. If you're going to fight the fight, do it with policy. Don't do it below the belt, literally.
Stay classy, Tucson. Well,
correct.
Justine, great talking to you as always.
Absolutely. I love coming on. Thank you.
Good luck. Keep working.
Thank you. And I will keep working for the people. If you guys have any issues, just know I do listen. I have people coming to me all the time with questions and with their concerns. I have people calling me in tears.
I got the same thing. Different businesses that are just
they're just in
devastated.
Tears. Yeah. And so please don't stop. Please keep coming to me. I am listening to you. I will respond.
All right, Justine, great seeing you. Say hi to Garrett for me.
Will do. Thank you.
How's his leg doing?
His leg is healing. It's been he had a week out of work, and again, it's
he got attacked by a dog.
Yeah, he got attacked by a big dog. Yeah.
Which park was that?
Himmel Park.
Oh, that's a jewel of the park system.
Pliskin Acres?
Almost Pliskin Acres. And I'm proud to represent that district, by the way.
Thank
absolutely.
You got my vote.
All right, Justine, have a great day.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
All right, Ed, get the saber dance ready. It's coming up next. Wake up, Tucson. All right, back to let's go ahead to the saber dance. Here we go.
Okay, it's not that one.
Rapid fire is what we called it. Ed.
That's what it was. Yeah, something fast track rapid fire. Here we go.
All right, let's go to Bud Foster. Growing concern on COVID-19 virus span around the U of A. This is a total hit piece on the U of A by Bud Foster. He only takes one quote from Teresa Cullen. We're not able to say we're concerned what's on campus, but what's concerned about what's off campus? But they didn't realize that also Teresa Cullen at the Catalina Foothill School District Board said cases at the U of A were going down.
Oh.
I guess that missed. This is last night. I mean, Bud missed that one, for God's sakes. We got another homicide on the south side Sunday night. Where was this at? Tucson Fire took over medical treatment.
I know, they don't tell you.
Oh, this is the drive-by of 65-year-old Randy Harris on his front porch.
Front porch.
On the south side.
Doesn't say where in the south side.
I don't know
side.
If
That's
Randy's
great.
A good guy. I don't know what his story is, but he was on his porch, and he got the old drive-by.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that going on. Oh, we have the thin blue line that was painted on the BLM street mural downtown.
Oh, really?
Someone snuck in the downtown and painted the blue line right through the words Black Lives on the Black Lives Matter.
Well, what are you going to do?
So, whoops.
Whoops.
And of course, the statement from Queen Rahina in the basement was, during this time of social unrest, we have to come together as Tucsonans. We have to face the issues that divide us and move forward as a strong and unified blah, 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 blah.
Did she really?
Yeah. Somos,
just stay in your basement.
Somos dos.
Come on. Can't take it, can you, girl? Somebody put up a blue line through your thingy.
And then Eric Fink, who's paying attention at KVOA, U of A leaders say COVID-19 positive rate is down.
See?
Bud missed that one. When he got fed the story from Mark Evans, that one didn't work. great story called The Moral Case for Reopening Schools Without Masks. And it's basically about someone named a Sunet epidemiologist at Oxford University in England called Sunetra Gupta. She doesn't do masks. She tells everyone the mask is useless. And she talks about all the damage that masks are doing to and not going to school.
Liar.
I will put that up at the DeSimone HQ. That's a deep dive. I don't know if I even have time to go over it tomorrow. What else do we got here today? Thank you. What else do we got here today? I forgot to say it in the Breonna Taylor story about what with the grand jury yesterday in Kentucky, that two officers were also shot during all of this. So listener Luke gave me a pretty good he went to the DeSimone wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com, and he had a good point, right? In addition to the idea that her boyfriend, who was the drug dealer, said they knocked, right? So he says, my recollection of the statement yesterday is the cops had a no-knock warrant, but they didn't use it. Instead, the neighbor testified. I thought the boyfriend not testified that the cops did knock and announce they were police officers. Also, the guy the cops were looking for no longer lived with Brianna, but then her current boyfriend admitted that he had fired at officers first. Man, my brain's hurt. It's getting confusing. What else do we got here today? Oh, for Jeff Utch, Heirs of the Republic. We love Jeff. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Jeff. Good.
So he's sending out to a lot of people that if you go to, Restore. This is one of those petitions. You got to go to ipetitions.com. I'll put this up. And this is a petition to tell Doug Ducey to cut the crap. It's called Restore the Balance of Arizona. Here in Arizona, put together by State Senator Kelly Townsend from up in the Maricopa area. So we'll get that out to you. What else do we got here today? Oh, again, I can't wait for the Democrats to go after the President Trump when he names Judge Coney. Mm-hmm. I don't have my story in front of me. I can't wait till they try to get that lady. That'll be them at their most embarrassing.
They're going to have to pick her apart, and there's nothing to pick, so this will be interesting.
Because you're going to
take news.
So he's not going to meet with he's not going to meet with Judge Lagoa, the one from Florida,
right?
That I talk about. So that and he pretty much said it's going to be a female. And so
and probably Hispanic, yes. So,
well, I don't know about that. It's definitely going to be female.
Yep.
But this Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
Mm.
is when they go after her, if they go after her like they do after they went after Kavanaugh, then they're toast.
Can't do it. That's why he's got to do it now. See, show their hand.
Absolutely. I think it's total genius.
Brilliant.
So, I think I got everything I need. Oh, I got to get this one. Belgium.
Oh.
Belgium introduced their long-term coronavirus strategy, which is basically getting rid of all social distancing, all of that stuff. They're saying, we're done. We got to get life going back
again. Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you to Sierra Vista and Belgium in the last 24 hours. Who knew I was going to say that? All right. We had a great show today. Noble Hops did a nice job today. The swordfish taco with the smoked poblano crema sauce on it was outstanding.
Yep.
Chef AJ is doing a nice job with what he brought us today. So give him a shot up in the OV. Justine Wadsack was just here. David Schweikert. Ryan Larson. We had a counterpoint today on the Pac-12 and football today. Daniel Wood, CD3, called in from Washington, D.C. And I thought we did a nice job with Polo Ruiz, the assistant special agent in charge, DEA Southern Arizona.
He did a nice job. Yep, absolutely.
Tomorrow we have Brandon Martin, Taco Rustico, Food Friday, Mark Van Buren with movies, and Frank Antonori comes back again. Zach's coming up next. I think he's got Ramon Valadez. Someone ask him about masks and Wall of Shame, maybe.